Thank you, Brother Frank. And thank you again, young people. I tell you, it is our privilege and our honor to be able to work with your young people, your kids and your grandkids. And our heart's desire is that they would come to know the Lord, that they would come to develop the potential that God has created in each and every one of them, and to fulfill the purpose for which they are created. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to have a Christian school here, and what a blessing it is for us to be able to have you as a part of our service tonight. And so here's a bonus. Not only were you blessed by the ministry of music, by the young people tonight, but today at Harvest, we had a little giveaway of sorts, and something that you have an opportunity to take home with you. Our theme for the year, our church knows it, is what, church? It is? He must increase. And every year, we've desired to put something in your hands to help you to be able to focus on the theme, to think on the theme, to meditate on the things of God. And typically, we pass things out in January. The beginning of the year makes sense. This past January was not a good January, and so we kind of postponed things a little bit. But for those tonight who maybe didn't get one this morning, we want you to know we've got a nice water bottle. It's good for the environment, it's sharp looking, and it's got the church theme on the front. He must increase. And so we say this: while you refuel, you can refocus. And so if you didn't get one this morning, or you weren't here this morning and would like one, we have a bunch of them set up at the table out here by the Welcome Center. And we invite you just to come by and grab one. And we have enough for each and every person to get one. So we want to make that available to you. Thank you, Brother Charles, for modeling it for us this evening. All right, we're in Matthew chapter 7, and let me give you a little background for those of you who are visiting with us tonight. As a church, we have been studying the Sermon on the Mount for about the last year and a half. And so, if you're like, boy, wolves in sheep's clothing, that's a weird passage of Scripture while little kids are singing, it's because this is where we're at in our study. And so we've been going verse by verse through God's Word, because we believe that God, the Bible, is the inspired Word of God, and that it's profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. Reproof, that's what's not to do. That's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to stay right, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. And so we're going verse by verse, line by line, unpacking the Sermon on the Mount, which we are calling the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher to ever preach, and that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's been teaching us all this time about what, church? About true righteousness. But Jesus' sermon is about to come to a close. And so he has taught us about true righteousness, what it is, how we receive it by faith through him, how it brings a life that pleases God, that fulfills oneself, that transforms one's world. And now, here we are at the end of the message, and King Jesus is calling us to follow him, to by faith make the decision to follow him. The last time we were in the passage, we looked at the two gates, the two groups, and the two guarantees. And we saw how Jesus called us to inspect where our feet were walking, because the road that our feet are on will lead us to the destination that we end up. Tonight, Jesus not only calls us to inspect where our feet are walking, but the Lord Jesus challenges us to examine who our feet are following. Because you know what? You can follow the wrong person in this life pretty easily. There's a lot of voices out there, and if you're not careful, you can follow the wrong person pretty easily. But here's the trouble: you can't follow the wrong person and end up in the right place. And so the Lord gives us a warning tonight that I'd like each of us to take to heart. A warning about wolves in sheep's clothing. Would you look at me at verse number 15 of this passage? Jesus says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, he says, they are ravening wolves. Can we notice tonight first the existence of false prophets? The existence of false prophets. Now, a prophet is simply this: someone or something that claims to speak on the behalf of God. A prophet is someone who claims to proclaim what is right.
A prophet is one who proclaims the righteous way. They explain and expound God's standard for men. But church, not everyone who claims to speak for God actually does. You know, the Bible here gives us a warning to beware of false prophets. Why? Because they come in sheep's clothing. We're to beware of them because of their deceptiveness. Due to their coverings, the Bible describes them like a wolf who outwardly adorns the skin and the wool of a sheep, who looks like a sheep and maybe even smells like a sheep. They're not. Their deceptiveness due to their covering, their deceptiveness due to their culture, they seem to fit in. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot going on in this world where people seem to fit in and what they say seems to make sense. But how many of us realize that just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's right? The Bible here admonishes us to beware because there are forces at work in our world that desire to deceive us. And they are good at what they do. Jesus warns us this way in Matthew 24 and verse number 24. For there shall arise false prophets, he said, or false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that they would deceive the very elect. You see, Paul warned of a time in the latter days in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where in verse number 3, where the Bible says that the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will actively search out people to tell them what they want to hear. Does that remind us of 2021? You don't have to look very far on YouTube to find somebody who will agree with you no matter how crazy you are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's a great danger there. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself, the Bible says, is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, these wolves that come in sheep's clothing, they come to deceive, and they are good at what they do. When they speak, it sounds good. And when they give us a direction, it feels good. And based on things that feel good and sound good, they lead men and women astray. They're good at their deceptiveness, and there's a great danger there because the wolf's goal is not to take the sheep home to build it a better life. The wolf's goal is to use and destroy the sheep for his own benefit. It's the picture of a wolf dragging a sheep off by the neck. A ravening, the idea that they are ravening wolves inwardly, is the idea that they use force to extort, to steal, to do harm. Now I'm going to tell you the deception that is out there in our world, the deception that's being worked, the deception that is taking our world by storm is deep and it is dangerous. And even for you and I as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible admonishes us to beware. Paul told the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 29, he said, for after I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Look at what it says. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You know, there are many out there who think that they are doing righteous works. There are many out there who claim to have the moral high ground, but are in all actuality running headlong to destruction. How many of us can step back enough to recognize this? That at the end of the day, we all basically feel like we are doing right. At the end of the day, we all basically feel like we believe the right way. At the end of the day, we are pretty comfortable with where we're at most of the time. You know, where you and I disagree, that's okay. I mean, you're genuinely wrong, but I'm genuinely right, right? You know, the Bible warns us that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of destruction. We all feel right. We can all find experiences to back us up. We can all find memes on Facebook to back us up. But the reality is we are not all right. And we are not all correct. And I want to say in love tonight, no one, no one, no one gets to have their own truth. No one does. Because there is a standard of right and of righteousness that supersedes my experiences. There is a standard of right and righteousness that supersedes how I feel. There is a standard of right and righteousness that supersedes what is culturally acceptable. There is right and there is righteousness that goes well beyond what you and I come up with on our own. And I'm going to tell you, we had better be clear and we had better be sure on what the proper standard is. It's just like if you're going to build something, you need the right standard. You need a tape measure you can trust. You need a ruler that's got a straight edge. You need a level that you don't need another level to check. God has given us that. God has given us that. The warning from Jesus Christ to us is that this world is full of people and full of philosophies that look good and sound good and feel good, but they are deceptive and they are dangerous. Well, that ought to cause us to sit up. Because if the danger is real and the deception is real, how do we guard against that? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the sheep with the wolf. Look what Jesus said in verses 16 through 18. He said, ye shall know them by their fruits. He said, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit or bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, because he not only points out the problem that exists, he not only points out the existence of false prophets, but he also gives us a solution. He shows us how to expose the false prophets. How do we know where the wolves are? You know, King Jesus here tells us that you and I can know. That word know means to have a full and accurate knowledge of. In other words, even though we have a million talking heads on TV, even though we have Fox News and CNN and Facebook and YouTube and bloggers galore, we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to live in danger or deception. We can judge righteous judgment. How do we do it? Well, Jesus here points out a couple of things. Number one, it's based on principle. Did you see the analogy he gave? That good trees bring forth what kind of fruit? Good fruit. That bad trees bring forth? Evil fruit. That fig trees are going to bring forth what? Figs. And that grapes vines are going to bring forth? Grapes. In other words, it's based on the principle that all things reproduce after their own kind. Seems simple enough, right? You go all the way back to the book of Genesis. It really is something that God laid out in creation week. Genesis chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 21. The Bible says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Jump, if you would, to verse number 24. The Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Verse number 25. And God made the beasts of the field or of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. In other words, things reproduce or bring forth after their kind. It is growing season in Ohio. pretty soon, you drive down the road and you will see miles and miles and miles of corn, right? For the most part. I know you got soybeans and all sorts of other things, but corn is what I see the most of. I'll tell you something that never happened. Never once did a farmer go plant corn and wake up one day and wonder why he had pea plants. Never once did a farmer plant corn and grow yellow squash. Because you reap what you sow. And Jesus' analogy here that good trees yield good fruit. Corrupt or rotten trees will yield evil or diseased fruit. Jesus says in verse number 18 that they cannot bring forth the other kind. In other words, the good tree or the evil tree doesn't have the power. It completely lacks the ability to bring forth good fruit. So how is it that we expose the false prophets around us? Well, based on the principle that ye shall know them by their fruits. So it's based on principle, but it's also born out of practice. You know, you and I, we are called to be fruit inspectors. You and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are called to be fruit inspectors. Now, fruit, what it does is it speaks to the character and the nature of what one's life actually produces. We're not talking about good intentions. We're not talking about the appearance that we're able to keep up at certain events in front of certain people. No, we are talking about the actual nature, the character that one's life produces. We're called to be fruit inspectors. You know, the Bible does admonish us in a spiritual sense that we can know whether or not someone is of God by the fruit of their life. You know, one of the things we're called to judge is the fruit of their lips. Jesus said, a good man hath a good treasure of his heart, bringing forth good things. A bad man, an evil man, hath an evil treasure of his heart, bringing forth evil things. Over in the epistle of 1 John, chapter number 4, we see it put this way. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. I'm going to tell you one of the most basic things that we can nail down on is what do they say and what do they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? That He is God in the flesh. That He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He bodily rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures, that He is coming again. Amen? Amen. So we're called to be fruit inspectors. Because a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit. And a corrupt tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. So the fruit of their lips, is it biblical? Is it scriptural? Not is it practical? Not is it pleasant? Not is it profitable or even provoking? But is it biblical and scriptural? You know, we're not only called to judge the fruit of their lips, but we're called to judge the fruit of their life. That their life will bear out whether or not they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. In a number of places, the Bible gives us some descriptions here. You look at Jude, the little epistle of Jude in verse number 4. The Bible says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to condemnation, ungodly men, having turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the mark of a false prophet, the mark of a wolf in sheep's clothing, the mark of somebody that was going to destroy your walk is somebody who turns the grace of God into an excuse to live however they want to live. God has not called us to use our liberty in Christ to our own lustful end. We have liberty to do what is right in Christ, not license to do what we want. You look at what Peter wrote in his second epistle, chapter 2, beginning in verse number 18. Speaking again of false prophets, this is for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lusts of the flesh. You notice how they appeal? They appeal through the lusts, the desires of one's carnal flesh. What tastes good, what feels good, what sounds good. All of those things, the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. Look at verse number 19. While they promised them liberty, don't we hear that? That we should be free to live how we want. While they promised them liberty, notice the reality. They themselves are the servants, the slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. And so we are fruit inspectors. Those who claim to speak for God. Those who claim to know what is right and righteous. We judge the fruit of their lips and we judge the fruit of their life. Do they seek to live what we have learned in the Word of God? Do they seek to live what Jesus has taught in the Sermon on the Mount? I'm going to tell you, the Bible is clear that what is within will come out, and we will know them by their fruit. Say, man, this is such a crazy message with all the little kids singing. But moms and dads, I want you to know this is one of the reasons we have a Christian school. Because we wholeheartedly believe. We wholeheartedly believe in training young people to know the truth. Amen. To know the truth. The truth that will really set them free. We have a Christian school because there are so many forces in the world who seek to steal, kill, and destroy what God desires for our children. Train them up to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this thing of false prophets. It's real. It's real. And I'm going to tell you, they sound good and they'll make you feel good. The exposure of false prophets, by their fruit ye shall know them. It's based on the principle of all things reproducing after their kind. It born out of practice. But I want you to see finally here, I want you to see the end of false prophets. We've seen their existence, we've seen how to expose them. But this is why this is so important, because I want you to see how it ends for them. Verse number 19 and 20, it says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, again, he says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, then, why does this matter? Why does it matter who I listen to on YouTube? And why does it matter who I read after? And why does it matter what radio station I listen to? And why does it matter whether or not I read my Bible? And why do all these things matter? It matters because of how it ends. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the broad road and the narrow road. We had a narrow gate that led to a narrow road that led to life. We had a broad gate that led to a broad road that led to destruction. Why does it matter what gate you take? Because of how it ends. Why does it matter who we listen to? Why does it matter who we follow? It matters because of how it ends. And the Bible is very clear here, may I say in love, that false prophets, wolves in sheep clothing, are headed for clear destruction. I'll tell you, there is absolute certainty and clarity as to what is meant when it says that they are cut down and hewn into the fire. That is eternal damnation. Judgment apart from God in a place called hell. The Bible says this is the end of false prophets. You look at verses, you look at passages like 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You look a little further in that chapter, verses 12 and 13. It says, but these, speaking again of false teachers, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. I'm going to tell you, the end of the false prophet is clear in Scripture. The false prophet will be hewn down and cast into the fire. This is the end of the false prophet. And here's my concern. If that is their end, then what is the logical end of those who follow? If that's where they end up, what is the logical conclusion of those who follow? I'm going to tell you, truth and error, right and wrong, righteousness and unrighteousness, these are not matters for some political election. These are matters that deal with our eternal destiny. The end of false prophets. And I'm going to tell you, their clear destruction calls for our crucial diagnosis. Jesus, again, in verse number 20, repeats the statement, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, I'll tell you this, church. Whenever we judge, righteous judgment, the first principle of righteous judgment is that we start by looking at ourselves.
That's right.
To look at where my feet are. To look at who my feet are following. I'm going to tell you, who do you give time to? Who do you give attention to? Who do you give your passion to? You know, I'm concerned because there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they don't spend time with the words of Christ. They don't spend time seeking the ways of Christ. Oh, I mean, everybody in the world knows that they're a Republican or a Democrat. Everybody in the world knows what their favorite kind of music is. Everybody in the world knows about their hobbies and their favorite sports teams. And we know all of this. But I'm going to tell you, can we call ourselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and give ourselves to follow anything but Him? Everything but Him? I'm going to tell you, we need to look at what we put in. Who we give our time to, our attention to, our passion to. We also need to look at what we produce. Not what we put in, but what our lives are putting out. Because the metaphor holds true. We produce what we are. Not what we want. Not what we intend. We produce what we are. And the decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ will change your life.
Right. That's all right.
The Bible is very clear that God's power to change your eternity is also the power to change your everyday.
Amen.
The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ will change your life. It doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't make you sinless. But it absolutely changes who you are.
Amen.
And when it changes who you are, it will change what you produce. I'll give you this example. I like dogs. I think dogs are cool. I mentioned this morning, not a fan of cats. If you're a fan of cats, I'm sorry. But I like dogs. I'm a dog guy. Anybody else a dog guy tonight?
Amen.
Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I like dogs. I think dogs are cool. If I didn't swell up like a balloon every time I played with them, I would have one. I would. And I would play with it. And I would run with it. And I would pet it. And then I would probably have my kids clean up after it, and it would be a wonderful thing. I like dogs. I like dogs. You know what I've never done, though? Tonight we got to see a lot of young people sing and perform music, and that was wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Three of those were mine. The Lord has blessed my wife and I with three kids. The Lord's never blessed us with a puppy. Well, it would be weird if He did. Why? Because we tend to produce what we are. Let me show you something. Christopher, come around and come up. There are some who say we look alike. Some who say, do you see it? Okay, me too. Some who say we look alike. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you're born of God, when you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will bear a resemblance to your Heavenly Father. More and more as you grow, more and more as you learn. Church, I'm concerned because there are wolves all around. And there are so many people who think they're okay because they got a hold of something one time that sounded good. They got a hold of something one time that felt good. They got a hold of something one time. They found somebody that confirmed what they thought was okay to think. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, this thing about right and wrong, this thing about truth and error, this thing about heaven and hell, it's so much bigger than what I think and what I feel, because there is a standard. Standard says, by their fruit, you shall know them. And so I ask you tonight, thank you, son. I ask you tonight as we close. I ask you tonight, number one, who are you following? Who are you following? I'm going to tell you, you follow Fox News, you're going to get in trouble. You follow CNN, you're going to get in trouble. You follow the blogger, you're going to get in trouble. You follow me, you're going to get in trouble. Who are you following? And I ask you as well, not only as we look at who we're following, let me ask you, what is your life producing? What does your life say about what road you're on? Because those who are born of God, the Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them.